I'm Josiah Rizzo.
I'm Benji Jones.
And on Wednesdays,
we wear pink.
What would you say is one of your favorite memories from, like, set, like, behind the scenes, anything like that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Just right off. We're diving straight in.
I was like, let's just dive into it. I don't know.
favorite moment. We got in trouble on Holes for messing up Sigourney Weaver's trailer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
We decided to have a food fight in the middle of the desert.
No.
Yeah, some ketchup got on her trailer. She was not
Excuse
happy.
Me?
That was real. That was legit. You know, she came out of her trailer just as angry as the warden.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, that's a hell of a moment.
Have you worked with actors before who do the whole, like, maybe they're not trying to be like Daniel Day-Lewis, but they essentially fit their character where you're, like, just as afraid of them as you would be?
You know, John Voight stayed in character the entire time.
I love that.
For Mr. Sir, the entire time. Forrest Whitaker, when we did Hurricane Season, I got a chance to meet the actual coach who his character was based off of, and the mannerisms, the way he chewed his gum, how he held his board as far as the coaching tablet was all him. So I loved it. Yeah, man. So yeah, there's a few actors out there who take their craft so serious that they want to stay in the moment.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting way to start off. Hey, everybody, welcome back. I'm Josiah Rizzo.
I'm Benji Jones.
I'm Cleo Thomas.
And on Wednesdays,
we wear pink.
This is a pop culture podcast where we discuss our personal experiences with film and media.
And everything else.
And the impact it's left or is leaving on our generation.
Today, we are here with Cleo Thomas.
Yeah.
A.K.A.
Mr. Slick Living, A.K.A. Slick James, A.K.A. Slicker Than Your Average, A.K.A. Slickalodian,
Jesus.
A.K.A. Get Slicker Die Trying, A.K.A. Slick Van Dyke. It keeps going.
A.K.A. Sexy With His Hair Slicked Back.
Hey, I'll take that.
I was going to say A.K.A. Too Slick, Too Furious.
using it right now.
How many, you said the list keeps growing, right?
Yeah, man, it does. I should actually start writing all of them down before it's all said and done. Then you have a shirt with all of them.
I was going to say, because you're very interactive with your fan base. Mm-hmm. It would be great to like get people's like poll type thing and then just be like, and the winner of the best nickname gets, I don't know, a hug from Cleo.
Man, they can get a whole
package. People would fight for that.
Well, welcome to the show.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Yeah, we met briefly on a short that my sister produced, and I had the pleasure of directing, and you were there at the screening, and
yes,
you enjoyed it.
I did. The first thing that jumped out to me was the sound, because normally when you see any type of independent film or guys who are just starting out, they're trying to do something, the sound is terrible.
Well, I'm glad said that on record, because that's the only reason I brought you here. Okay, guys. Okay. That's goodbye. Thanks.
All you needed was that credential.
Hashtag validated.
Yeah, man.
We couldn't get accepted by Sundance, so we're just going to have your quote with the feathers around it.
The actual badge of appreciation.
There you go.
The sound was incredible, man. The story was really cool. I love the way that it was shot. And how long was the actual film? What, 7-8 minutes?
It was 9 minutes.
9 minutes, okay. Nine minutes long, and you instantly get warped into that world, and you're kind of wondering, you're stuck. Like, you're watching this series of moments happen, and it was incredible. I really did enjoy it.
And one of the reasons I appreciate that, obviously, not like tooting my own horn, but I appreciate that because you've been in this industry for a very long time, and there's kind of a clear difference between people who really fighting hard, trying to be a part of it, and people who have actually been, I don't know, I would say blessed to
be able to just kind of be in it or have to be able to break in early and be able to actually work and
work in quality projects and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's obviously the goal. Any filmmaker, big or small, should be working on is trying to make something of quality. But we'll start off there. Obviously, let's get this out of the way.
Yeah.
You are Cleo Thomas.
Yep.
But you have another name that I'm sure people love to call you by.
Yeah, man.
Do you want to tell the audience what it is if they haven't guessed already?
It's Zero.
Yeah.
Zero from the film Holes. Or you're the kid from Holes.
Oh, my God. Oh, you are that guy. Oh, what? Wow. Dude. No, wait. Hold up. Let me get a picture from my Instagram.
Gotta get one from my gram.
Hector Zeroni, Zero. That kid is a legend, man.
Yeah, for sure.
He's the black Harry Potter. I'm literally the black Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I'm, I'm Harrison Ford as Han Solo. He'll forever be that to a certain demographic of people, or he'll be Indiana Jones to a certain demographic of people.
Yeah,
so I'm lucky to have that role on my resume, man.
I think he's a cool role too, because like, I mean, we recently, obviously, we wanted to rewatch it, and one of the things I was struck by was kind of the strength of this character. And just the fact that he was a character who didn't know things but wanted to learn, and was very smart, intelligent. I don't think they build you as a they probably didn't bill you as the, what's it called, the co-lead, or
I was definitely not
that but time. when you watch it, it's essentially, it is like half of it is your story.
Seriously,
and I love that.
Like, it's I think anybody who would think back on that would say that you were the co-lead for sure.
Yeah,
it's like you and Shia, and then that was it.
Reading the script, I didn't think that that's what was going to happen.
Right,
and then I watched the film, and I'm like, wow, this is, I have a lot of screen time. Yeah, not realize this.
This is
the time,
my
man.
Movie.
Yeah,
what, man. How remarkable is the filmmaking experience in reality?
Oh man, look, I told my mom when I was 5 I wanted to be an actor.
Right.
She thought I was crazy. We were living in Barstow at the time, so Barstow is not too far from here. It's between here and Vegas, pretty much.
Wow.
And she thought I was crazy. And then a couple weeks later, she asked me, "Did I still want to pursue it?" And I said, "Yeah."
Nice.
We moved to Los Angeles, and we just figured it out. So it was always just a dream. I actually found my mom found this booklet, or notebook, I would say, from when I was in elementary school, and all it said was, "I want to be an actor. Like, that's what I want my dream to be."
Wow.
It says it, like, I could see my shitty handwriting. I'm like, wow, 5-year-old shitty handwriting.
Day one.
Wow. I want to be an actor. So
that's awesome.
For that to come true, you know, and Holes wasn't the very first project I did, you know, but there was commercials before that. There was small TV shows, things like that. But Holes was the breakout role, man.
Yeah.
And I didn't know I didn't know I was actually filming it until 2 weeks on set.
Really?
I didn't know. I thought I was still auditioning.
Wow.
Kid you not.
What?
Yeah, man.
What? Well, because, all right, I wanted to ask, like, the filmmaking process, while the end result is obviously something really remarkable, in when you were on set and when you eventually figured out that you were filming, was it something that you thought to yourself, oh, this is going to be big?
Man, I had no clue. I didn't know this is what it was going to be. Like, I wasn't never in a movie of this capacity.
Right.
Sure,
I didn't know what the marketing was going to be. I didn't know that the film would be, not only the book would be a part of the kids' curriculums in schools, but then they would have to watch the movie right after. So I would be reintroduced to a new generation every single year since 2005.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so it's a hell of an experience, man. And I didn't think it would be what it was. I didn't know.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Zero will be forever.
Forever. Yeah, you are immortal at this point.
I am.
Did you have fun on the set of Holes?
I had so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, to be a kid who's only 13 and being around actors he looked up to, you look at Sigourney Weaver. I watched Aliens a million times growing up. When she first walked on set, I froze. I was like, that's Ripley.
Yeah. So you had been like keeping up with stuff like that.
Oh yeah, because absolutely. You know, this is what I was into. I still am a huge movie nerd. So to see Ripley walk on set for the very first time, shocking. And then Tim Blake Nelson, I had watched. I'm not sure if our brother were out. I was just trying to think.
That I think was 2001, if I'm remembering off the top of my head. So
I did watch Our Brother Out There beforehand and enjoyed the hell out of that.
Of course,
movie. That movie is incredible.
It's one of the Coen Brothers' best films.
Wow,
yeah, so fun.
It's definitely their Citizen Kane.
Side note, me and Benji, we always have like such conflicting like interests in film that sometimes we look at each other like, so why are we doing this podcast together again?
We do not agree on much.
Straight up though.
Okay, so at age 5 was when you told your mom that you wanted to do acting.
Yeah.
Which is insane. And then how soon after that did you do Holes?
Oh man, Holes didn't happen until I was 13.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So it was a long run.
But when you 5 and you told your mom you wanted to act, she kind of just like, did she just like hop on it or did she?
It took her a minute to kind of like wonder if
you were
kid,
serious.
If I was serious.
Yeah.
I think every parent should do that.
Agreed. You don't just,
jump. Or just like take them at their word and, you know, do what you can. And
Benji,
then when they lose
you're
interest,
from personal experience,
I'm just speaking.
he's talking to his mom.
Being a little salty, mom.
Well, we should. I think we should briefly just say, you seem to have a great relationship with your mom, though, right,
yeah,
Cleo?
Yeah, man. My mom is everything to me. She's my best friend.
Wow.
Everyone who meets her loves her instantly.
Yeah.
When they see me next time, they like, Where's your mom?
Oh my God.
I know, right?
I think we all three have that in common. Yes,
we all three have that exact same relationship.
I literally, my friend is in like this intense hardcore rock band. Mm. And he was like, are your parents coming today? Because they came just to support him. Oh, you know?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And yeah. I was just like, yeah, man. They were asking like, so when's your mom and your dad getting here? I'm like, they're coming.
Excuse me, I'm here. Like, what's here.
And the same, as soon as Mama Cheryl comes in town, it's just, which...
It's everything.
I hope that part didn't get deleted.
I think it might have.
That's so sad.
It's all right.
Long story short, you don't like people calling your mom by her first
name.
I don't
like people calling her by her first name. It's not cool. Yeah.
You show my mother some respect. That is Mrs. Thomas.
Exactly. I'm glad that you're comfortable with her. I'm glad that you like her, but she's my mom.
Right.
You respect her.
I don't call her Cheryl. You don't.
Thankfully, Mrs. Thomas, she took the plunge. She came out here with you. Mm-hmm. You guys, obviously, you had a lot to learn about, like, headshots.
In the industry in general, yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's cool.
Yeah, she put me on. She was like, okay, well, let's go for it. Let's figure it out. And we figured it out. We did the headshot thing. We did the showcase thing. Got an agent. Got told my ears were too big. I needed surgery for them.
Oh,
yeah.
That's insane. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought we had talked about that already. Yeah. Can you explain that to us?
So the agent told my mom that she should consider getting my ears pinned back because they were too big.
Oh my God.
About a week later, an audition comes up for Kids Say the Darndest Things, which used to be hosted by Bill Cosby.
Right.
I book it, and the whole segment between me and him is talking about how many girlfriends I had. I said 15, and he was like, why do you have 15 girlfriends? I said, because they like my ears. He's like, why do they like ears? I said, because I can wiggle them. And that's exactly what happened.
Yes.
So Bill Cosby ended. That was actually the pilot episode. So Bill actually took that one clip to Oprah to show it off to promote the show.
Wow.
So that agent had to eat crow for that.
Eat his words.
It's insane.
I love that. That's so the industry, though, is to be all like, yeah, like you need to fix this about yourself. And then you go like, oh, yeah, really? And then you like do something like just because of that.
Right.
That's great. Like, I'm glad that you're special. Yeah.
But you never know. Like, people who take that risk, it is always a risk. Because, you could stick to your guns. I mean, we work in an industry that is constant rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even on a positive day, it's like, if there's a day that you, and if you have the wrong mindset, of course, but like, if there's a day that you're not getting an audition, it's like, oh, then you're rejected. Yeah. So you're constantly faced with this idea of like, I might have to change who I am. And how do you like balance that, especially at such a young age? I think that's the thing. Everyone always likes to say, oh, kid actors, you know, they don't turn out well. But
I skipped that whole child actor curse thing.
Yeah.
Really did, man.
I think it's probably just the having like a strong family unit probably to hold you down. And just really just siblings are great because they don't care who you are. A sibling will smack you right in the face and take your donut. And they like don't care.
Yeah.
So
I'm thankful. I have two little brothers, one little sister, and my family meant everything to me. Like, I didn't move out of the actual family home until I was like 27.
The reason I made
that decision is because I wanted to be there with my brothers and little sister through high school and like experience that with
them. Yeah, and be that like role model and that guiding light kind of and show them that.
That's
really
cool. That's interesting. I'm assuming you had a lot of like fellow kid actor friends around that age too.
Yeah.
And did they kind of do the opposite? Were they like living on their own type thing?
Some took that, you know, there's this thing called a Coogan account where when you're a child actor, they take a portion of your paychecks and they put it in an account you can't touch till you're 18. So
that was named after Jackie Coogan, who starred in The Kid with Charlie Chaplin, one of my favorite films of all time. So
fun fact, that man is an encyclopedia.
Clearly.
Yeah, he hit y'all with straight facts. That's exactly what it is. I turned 18. A lot of those actors, I think that's the reason. They turn 18, that big lump sum of money, and they're like, I'm free now. I'm good. I can do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
I got that check from 18. I gave it right to mom's like, we got to buy a house.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. Yeah,
that makes me kind of want to tear up a little bit.
Listen, man. You know, I did. I look at my life. I'm like, I did.
You did. No regret. I mean, like, I'm sure we all have regrets looking back, but definitely no big things that you're like, God, what did I do?
Right.
Facts, man.
And I'm glad you mentioned your sister. If anyone's here listening to you, they already obviously know you're an actor.
Mm-hmm.
If they're your fans, they know what you're up to. But for those who are just tuning in for the first time,
let's talk about what you are doing currently.
Yeah, tell us who you are currently.
Cleo Thomas currently. He is still an actor. Nice. He's also an entrepreneur. He became a businessman since you may have last heard of him. He's got more involved in the community. He's looking to expand his brand all over the world in different aspects of life, not only just acting or music or clothing. Like, let's go to gaming. Let's go to actual film production. Let's get into the actual producer side of films. And so people have been.
Yeah, people that is know. So awesome. Yeah, just man. Multi-talented, multifaceted, just like.
Which wasn't okay at first. Like, people didn't like that. Exactly. People did not like
I'm sorry,
that
what?
People did not like that. Mm-hmm. People hated, like, my agents hated when I went on road for tour. They hated that.
Oh, that, like, yeah, I get that. Yeah. They want you, it's once again the ears thing. It's as long as it's yours and they don't see what it's going to do for them, they're just like, well, you got to change that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's frustrating. But so one of your businesses, you have two clothing lines.
Yeah.
The first one.
Slick Living,
of course. And then the second, we'll talk about them both, but the second one you're actually wearing right now.
Yeah, man.
This was my personal favorite when I heard the behind the scenes of it. Yeah. And the reason I brought up your sister. Can you explain to us what GLAM is?
GLAM, it stands for Goddess Living Amongst Men. Mm-hmm. I had the idea almost 7 years ago now and didn't know how to bring it to life yet. I just didn't have the know-how. I didn't know exactly what it should look like or what was the message behind it. I just liked the word glam and knew what I wanted it to stand for.
Nice.
It wasn't until one night I was sitting there with my sister and we were having a very in-depth conversation. Like I said, my sister's she's 15 years younger than me.
Right.
Wow. So where you see the world is from two different perspectives.
Yeah.
And there's so many things that in life that I've seen that I would have never caught wind of just because I'm not a woman. I don't have to deal with the same problems that a woman has to go through living in this world.
Right.
So I had a really in-depth conversation with her, and that's what was the main focus for me to build GLAM up to where it is today. I hold both my sister and my mom on such high pedestals, and I believe that any opportunity that I have in this world, my sister should be able to have the exact same opportunity, be paid the exact same amount of money and salary. Like that part doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Right.
So it's all about women empowerment, man. I feel like I have my platform is the people who follow me are mostly women.
Yeah.
I'm not the guy to run around saying the B word 1,000 times any damn way. So I might as well use my platform for something more positive.
Mm. Yeah. And how does you do that just on your own?
Yeah.
But how does GLAM figure into that as well? Did you bring your sister on to?
Yeah. I did. Yeah, I brought her in. She was the creative director behind the last shoot.
Yeah.
And she had so much fun. She's designing some of the new characters that she wants to put forth as far as underneath the GLAM umbrella.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She's an artist, so she wants to change the world of animation forever.
I happen to catch that. Yeah. So she.
So do you plan on handing the business over to her at some point?
I might have
just
to.
Glam.
Yeah, no, I might like, have to. Dead ass, man. I would like it. I would like to do that. Like mm-hmm. that. I have all these ideas. Great, but at the same time, I know what the purpose of this is. Like, I don't want to be. I'm not trying to be the face of female empowerment or women empowerment or anything. Yeah. I just feel like I can help create the energy. For it.
I think that's a perfect thing is to be able to be like, I have this position right now to build something up that I can give to you and you can really run with it and that can be something that is for you. That is a legacy for all of us, really.
Agreed. Yeah. And not just my sister. I've met some very incredible women the last 3 years of my life and all of them have kind of opened up my eyes to different things that I just did not see before.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, man, even if I can have that as the team, I'm like,
oh yeah. Get your like
Justice League.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah. Get your Justice League.
Yeah, Justice League moment. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So whenever GLAM comes out with a pair of bedazzled headphones, I will definitely be first in line.
I got you. I will make sure that happens.
I'm in it.
Those are pretty fly. I
made them myself.
Go ahead, man. I see you.
Well, that's good to know that, like, kind of know where you are. I want to rewind just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So back in 2002 is probably when you were shooting Holes, correct?
About that time, yeah.
2003, Holes comes out. I can't remember if it was, I'm assuming it was a summer film, right?
It came out in April.
So from 2003 on, now you're identified as Zero.
Yeah.
What was... I mean, can you describe that? Obviously, now in retrospect, there's some really awesome aspects about that.
Mm-hmm.
Did it get frustrating, though, during the time to be identified as solely one character?
I'm going to have to say no, and let me tell you why, though.
I'm glad to hear that.
It's good. The reason why, what cooler nickname to have than that for me?
Yeah.
I grew up playing video games. Uh-huh. Mortal Kombat, Sub-Zero is a character. I grew up playing a game called Mega Man. The character you couldn't play as that was the cooler one, his name was Zero.
Oh, nice.
I grew up skateboarding. There was a brand called Zero. I thought it was so cool to have a nickname like that.
Wow.
Yeah,
that just straight up was like everything you wanted to be.
It was handed to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
You know what? It floors me. I love, I'm just enjoying listening to you talk because you seem to be a glass always full type person.
Yeah, man.
But like genuine, not kind of in the way where you're like, okay,
I'm going to choose to be positive about this.
Or like, I don't want to hang out with this person anymore. They're too damn positive all the time and it doesn't feel real.
Oh, yeah, not the annoying type. Yeah.
It seems like you have a genuine appreciation for what has been handed to you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, I mean, then I guess what was it like then just growing up though in that aspect of pop culture, being a part of people's world?
Something that I didn't really, nobody in my family knew how to kind of handle it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I said, we didn't come from, you know, a long line of actors or anyone in the entertainment business, really. The dynamic shift of like, okay, us being able to just go out kind of changed for the family. Yeah. Just a tad bit.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But I got to give it to my parents for making sure that the business didn't take away that ability for us to be human. Mm-hmm. You know, we still went to theme parks. Me and my brother still played basketball at the same rec center. I still had the same friends. My parents did a great job of like limiting the amount of like influence the industry could have had.
I think this episode should just be called Parents. They're pretty damn cool.
They're pretty damn cool, man. I got lucky, man. I saw some parents. True story. I did this McDonald's commercial a long time ago.
Ooh.
And this kid, I don't know if he's ever going to see this, but if you see this, bro, I remember you.
Oh, wow.
You were very mean to your mother.
Oh,
and I looked at my mom, and my mom looked at me just in that. And I could see that moment. My mom was like, I will f*** if you ever try me in this manner.
That's so funny. God.
Dead ass.
I'm going to bring it here real quick. Was it a white kid?
Yep. Shout out to that kid, man.
I remember, and I feel like such an asshole saying this, but you have to admit your lows to grow from it.
Yeah.
There was one time in my life I ever looked at my mom and called her the B word.
Oh,
and gosh. I remember immediately just the look on her face, and then I went, I should not have said
I don't
that.
Know why
I should not have said that. And it was just like I could feel every part of me go like I just disrespected the thing that brought me into this world.
If I ever like it's never even been close to happening for me. But like I do remember one time I called my dad an asshole.
Oh.
And I didn't like it wasn't to his face. He had walked out of the room, but I said it loud enough so he could hear it.
Uh-huh.
And I just immediately
what was that? That was your pettiness. You're like, asshole. Not gonna say it to your face, but I want you to hear it.
I'm not confrontational.
Just behind.
Like, I immediately felt so bad. I was like, he didn't deserve that. I was like, and then I went into his room and apologized like 5 minutes later. And now he like loves telling that story. He's like, my one son will fight with me like all night, and then the other one, he calls me the A word once and comes in 5 minutes later and apologizes.
You're just like, thanks, Dad.
That's love.
Thanks for putting my moment on
my one moment on blast. But I just put it out there for everyone. So,
yeah, man.
So since you did have such a, I mean, honestly, you had like a really lucky break, not just a lucky break, but then you had people who are consciously working towards keeping you, as a sane human being. What part did you notice that pop culture played not only on just like say your friends who weren't in the industry, but also just people in the industry? Like what were the differences you noticed in how this beast kind of like,
man,
shaped your life and your friends' lives?
Big difference between real life and the industry life. Mm-hmm. Big difference. Even as a kid, you know, you low-key have to be affiliated with certain people. Like, it was weird seeing so many parents kind of like telling their kids, hey, you got to be friends with him because
that
was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, over here, like, just, you know, I have big ears, so I heard every goddamn thing. So hearing that, like, in audition rooms and just, it was just so weird to me. And I'm like, damn, so people just really can't be friends here, huh?
Yeah.
And I'm learning that at, like, 15. I'm like, this is nuts.
Yeah, because it's all super strategic.
Yeah, and everything was definitely for that. But, you know, you have parents who were trying to get over as much as I think they could.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, man, like, to go from a film like Holes and then to go on to do a film like Walking Tall, when did I turn down High School Musical somewhere in there?
Benji, you would know when High School Musical came out.
I would die.
Yeah.
I actually don't know when, but.
Well, Walking Tall was 2005, if I remember correctly.
Okay, so we got to find out when High School Musical was, because I definitely turned it down for a very dumb reason, but I was like, I just can't do it.
You were just like, not about Disney Channel?
No. See, that's the thing. Even that, like, the Disney brand, like, do you consider Holes a Disney movie?
Like not
by
really.
The, is it by the book?
Not really.
No, not at all.
See, that's the thing. It's like, yo, low key, I've always had the edge anyway. Like, Zero's the edgiest Disney kid character you're gonna get.
I love, like, I think we cheered a little bit when he you knocked
everyone
Mr. Pandansky. Yeah. Is that his name?
Pandansky? Yeah, Mr. Pandansky.
How many times do you hit people with a shovel and tell them sick?
Hey man, listen, man. I got a chance to, you know, speak to so many people over the years, and knowing that part everyone was waiting for, and it happened, and it paid off the way it did. I love it, man.
It's crazy. To, like, watching that now has a little even bit more of a sting on it, because he just went straight from being like, you should love people, except this freaking...
Because I remember as a kid, I was like, oh, that's weird. Why does he not like him? And then watching it again, like, older, I was like, wait, why is he such a
he's
dick?
He's an asshole.
Like,
him, what? Man. Yeah, man.
No reason. And what's funny is, like, I feel like you probably only got to camp, like, maybe a couple weeks before...
someone pointed out a plot hole recently.
Yeah, uh-oh. I'm like, because they make it seem like you've been there forever, and it's like, no, you would have only just gotten there like maybe a couple days before.
So here's my theory on that. Someone definitely threw that out there to me on Twitter recently, and I was like, okay, but people got to understand that Zero didn't have a family.
Yes. Mm.
So when he went to court in the court system, who was going to bail him out?
No one. Straight to the camp.
Exactly. Yeah. So Stanley's character had the family. They had a whole trial to see which way he was going to go anyway.
Right.
They sent my ass straight in.
Yeah.
So that's what I think. I'm like, oh, maybe a month and a half, two?
Yeah. That was my thing. I was like, it would either be a few days or it'd be a couple months tops. Because it would be...
That's still enough time.
Obviously, kids, you would go straight there, but then there'd be a couple months of his trial and everything. And
yeah, but like, kids, you do one thing three times and they're like, oh, he always does that. Like, I just tripped three times. I'm like, Josiah Rizzo, he always be tripping. I'm like, I didn't always trip.
Let me tell you, that is so true. I was always the clumsy one in school. And God. Like, you trip twice, and people were like, oh, he always trips. Wait for him, he'll trip again. And you're like, I haven't tripped in like 5 months. What are you talking about?
Everybody's waiting on it.
Honestly, I wasn't expecting to really talk about holes this much, but since you brought it up, one of the things I did like about it was just like, it is kind of about like embracing your own identity, but also not letting other people label you. And it's a whole thing about like labels, curses, like what your family says you're supposed to be, who you actually want to be.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a fun movie.
I love it. I love that it ends with just like they put a bow on top of that movie. Like they wrap up every loose end,
everything,
and they put a bow on it. But anyways,
I have a question before we move on to everything. I know you guys have so much to talk about. And I was like, okay, so I actually want to talk to you guys since you're both movie guys.
Yeah,
someone threw out a theory recently of what a whole sequel could be.
and it
blew my mind. I was like, I never thought about like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so
let it out.
Look at the treasure hunters in film history.
Okay.
Right? We have someone like Indiana Jones. I'm like, the guy told me, is Zero not top five treasure hunters of all movies?
Oh my God.
Oh.
I'm like, okay. And he's like, yo, what would a whole spinoff be like? You got rich, now you're an adult. Why wouldn't Hector Zeroni or Zero use that money to go out and be a treasure hunter?
I mean, he found the treasure. He found his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's just like,
and now you're like, you got money. You're set for life.
I'm
like,
Nathan Drake-ing it.
You got to find something.
Oh my God.
I'm Uncharted out here. He threw that out there. And I was like, that would be an interesting spin on it all.
And you know, Shia LaBeouf already did Indiana Jones.
He did Indiana Jones. So National Treasure was a Disney film with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, was that Disney?
And John Voight?
Yeah.
So I mean, like, I'm saying Disney, call them two back and have them do the next one.
Let's get it in.
Someone asked me the other day, they were like, what type of movies do you like going to see in the theater? And I said the most depressing thing I could have ever thought of. I just went, oh, well, they don't really make the type of movies I like anymore. So I just resigned myself to what's in theaters.
Oh, wow.
And I thought about it because like my favorite movies growing up were like National Treasure, Indiana Jones, Mask of Zorro,
Pirates
of the Caribbean. I loved like those old school adventure action. And there's great movies out nowadays. I love them, but I'm just like, God,
they don't hit like they used to.
They don't hit those old school like adventure. Like I watching Holes, I was like, oh yeah, that's why I liked this. There was like, and everything because it was written by, and I never remember how to pronounce his last name.
Louis Sacker.
Sacker. Okay.
Yeah,
Louis Sacker. So the way he wrote that book, nothing is out of place in that book or in the script where it's just like everything ties in. Like you said, there's a bow on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like every moment, there's a reason why I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but everything that happens in that script in that movie, it ties into something that happens in the next scene. So it's not like nothing's wasted.
Yeah.
And I love that. It was like a little mystery of being like, ooh, how's this going to play out? Why? Like just the idea of the payoff of like Zero learning how to read the entire film. So at the very end, he could say,
yeah, is your first name, your last name spelled backwards? Or what I didn't realize actually until we just watched it was that the reason that the yellow spotted lizards didn't bite you guys is because you'd been eating onions.
Yeah.
I don't know why that never clicked in my head until I was just like, oh, okay, I see. Man. So it's just like everything is just like, it's on.
Before we move on from holes, I do have to ask, what is our favorite line from the movie?
Well, that's too damn bad!
You can't dig it. Big shout out to Scott Plank, man. God. That actor passed before he even got to see the film.
And I'm assuming he was nothing like, I'm hoping he was nothing like his character. Like,
no, man.
But that's obviously in honor of him.
Yes, yeah. Sir. I mean, that's great that he had the best line. He had
the whole dang
the
movie.
Most immortal line in the movie. So that's great.
Followed up by, and my family and I quote this all the time, I can fix that.
I can fix that. Did you see the tweets between those two?
No. Yeah.
Patricia Arquette tweeted out that she was like, can someone please just tell me to go clean my my bedroom?
Oh, no.
And Dua Hill responded. And Twitter, I can fix that.
No.
I'm sure Twitter blew up.
Yo, it was so great.
Did you keep up with him on Psych? Did you ever watch his show?
I watched a few episodes of Psych. I did enjoy it. They did a film for it. Yeah?
They did.
Yeah.
They're funny, man. Yeah. He's great. It was good because when he popped up, I went, hey, I love him. Yeah. Like, I loved him in Holes. That's Dua like one of my Hill, favorite man. Characters.
What, because I know one of your videos you were saying you would love to do like a superhero movie. What are like some of the, either what's the superhero movie you would love to do, or like what do you think, what would be the next film you would really just love to be a part of?
I would love to do, I liked Batman Beyond growing up, so the Terry McGinnis story would be really cool.
Dude, that would be awesome. That now is like the perfect time for like to play it differently, is like to have somebody of a different ethnicity doing it too.
We have to thank Michael B. Jordan. Mm-hmm. We have to thank him for breaking the ice with
Johnny Torch,
right?
Yeah,
because he took all the heat.
Yeah,
he took all the heat, so other actors can come in and like
pun that one in, didn't
he? Yeah,
really did.
Yeah,
I would absolutely totally watch you as Terry for Batman Beyond. Like, I think really cool. I honestly think you would be a great choice for that. So,
and who would you pick as your Batman?
Ooh.
You get to pick.
Keaton.
Yeah.
I'm pulling Keaton.
I'm so glad you said
out of the
that.
Woodwork. Come back, bro. I need you. Other than that, you know, I've had the opportunity now to audition for a few of the DC films. I mean, mm-hmm. DC shows.
Nice.
They're on like the DC Plus app. Mm-hmm. There was definitely something that came up regarding the Titans show.
Ooh, right.
Yes. True story. Mm-hmm. Just the week before I went on the audition, I went to go get my passport renewed.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when you go in on audition on Friday, guys, if they want you for the role, they're going to tell you that Friday because everyone's going to be out of the office during the weekend.
Right.
It's Sunday. I'm packing up some Slick Living stuff. I had this huge order. And I get a call from my agent that's like, hey, can you get on a flight to go up to Toronto tomorrow because they want you for the role?
Oh.
I had just filed for my passport 2 weeks ago, so it wasn't in hand yet.
Oh.
So I told my agent, look, do not tell them I do not have my passport. Mm-hmm. I will have it in my hand tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
She told them I didn't have it.
Why? Fired. You're fired.
And they took the role from me, bro.
No.
And it was a red eye flight any damn way.
Yeah.
So I would have been flying out Monday night.
Oh my gosh. That sucks.
That just made my heart sink a little bit.
Yeah. So there's a very other side to the business.
It's just like, exactly.
But you know, we'll stick with that glass half full. You've got a lot of stuff going for you.
Yeah. Yeah, so like outside of acting, where else do you see, like, what else do you see being next for your different aspects? Like, are you working on a new song?
Music for me. I won't say I'm done with it at the moment, mm-hmm. But it's definitely not on my radar.
Okay.
Recently, I did what I wanted to do with music.
Nice.
You know, I do Roll Bounce with Bow Wow, mm-hmm. and then Bow Wow takes me underneath his wing to be on the Scream Tour with him. And this is Scream Tour when I'm talking, Bow Wow was at the peak of his career.
Yeah, for sure.
And like a lot of people, I get it, the internet can clown him now, but like what this kid was able to accomplish at a young age, no one's been able to touch him.
Exactly.
He sold out Madison Square Garden. He was the first rapper to sell out Madison Square Garden. Jay hadn't done it before him.
Mm,
so that's crazy to think of. So like, yo, I saw Madison Square Garden sold out. I saw 28 arenas sold out for this kid.
Yeah.
I happened to be his hype man for the entire tour. So I got to see what it was like to be at the top of the top.
Yeah, you got to be a part of that.
Yeah, so then to that pushed me more to do music. And then eventually, all I really wanted was to tour myself and just to hear people scream my lyrics.
Yeah.
Once I accomplished that, I was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I feel like that's something where if it's not your absolute passion, you can be like, oh man, I had this great experience and now I can move on to something else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So now it's, you know, it's building Slick Living. It's building glam. It's, you know, building even Slick Living TV. I've had a lot of fun with that. Getting people, I got tired of people asking me for shout outs.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, that doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people, like, if you want to build something, they need to be connected to you. They need to be involved and like understand who you are and like you for the person you are.
Yeah.
So I decided to make Slick Living TV, which is a Snapchat profile that allowed people to take over for 24 hours.
Nice.
So I now love that. Here's a platform with a spotlight on it.
Yeah.
Talk about what it is, whether it's your music, your video editing. We've had chefs on it. We've had,
we've had
sneaker customizers, everybody, yeah, man. So I've enjoyed building Slick Living TV. That's my way of giving back as well awesome. To the business and to the world. And, yeah, man, like, I don't know what's next for Slick Living.
I see you're also, at one point you were, and I don't know if you still are, you're trying to develop a show, right?
Yeah, the Clio Show, yeah.
How many Patreons do you have right now?
We're at 165.
People, I need you to add yourself onto his Patreon. It's 400, right?
Yeah, 400, and I can make
it. I'm about it. I didn't see it. What is the Slick Living? What is the, Clio Show going to be?
So the Clio Show, all this content I've been dropping for, like, the last 2 years on Instagram. People were like, yeah. Clio, this should have been a show a long time ago. Why don't you have, like, why aren't you the
I'm
black
I'm working on it.
Yeah. I kind of have like a little sketch comedy, commenting on current stuff.
Current
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, because your YouTube, it's like, it's little short, like 3-4 minute videos, but it's great.
Which I love.
Yeah, thank you. One, I know, like I was like, oh, I should watch a few of his videos. I watched like 20.
Hey, I love it. So a Clio Show would be fun, man. You know, I think it's building toward that. I think the fact that, you know, I had a chance to go to E3 very recently, and to be embraced by that world meant a lot to me. So the words go where you're celebrated, not just tolerated.
Yeah,
I've heard those words a lot in my life, but it didn't mean anything to me until like last week.
Really?
Because you know, like for instance, I don't know when this will be released, but like the BET Awards are coming up. I've never been.
Yeah,
never been to the BET Awards.
Damn, and you
but
like
four
really
of my film, like no, like four of my films have been on the network. I've been in you guys' building, and I've never been to the BET Awards. I don't get the
really.
Invite. It's just like, you know, that was something that was always in the back of my head. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I can walk into an E3 experience, and it's just fucking mayhem. And
yeah.
People are shocked, and like they're like happy to see me here.
Yeah.
So that's another thing in this world, man. Like, do not always try to fight for something that genuinely don't even want you to be there. You wouldn't even be happy when they do let you in the door.
That's true, because you're still going to be salty. You're going to be like, oh.
It took me this long to get in this moment.
Okay, now I'm here. Now that I did this, now you want to see me? Yeah, I feel like I'll be real petty when I get in.
You are. Honestly, though, I think that's a really powerful thing anyone, not even in the industry, should listen to, because it's something I've had to work on. I have to rewind back. I really appreciated the fact that you were very into January, February, March. Is it March or May that was mental health awareness month?
Yeah.
I really appreciated the fact that you were like very open, even though you yourself don't, you never like had to deal with kind of like that mental health aspect, but you're opening up and getting to know people who are going through that. And I think all of us need to be okay with the fact that some of us have to go to therapy, and it's not just because of bad issues. It's sometimes just like maintenance. And and one of the things that for me, I go to a therapist, and one of the things I love about it is because it helps me maintain being okay with who I am in this moment and not chasing after what I think I want. But if it doesn't even want me, like, what am I even chasing after it for? Like, that was one of the first things that was like had to like go off my shoulders, where it was just like, I'm going to enjoy every moment today as if it's my last, because I really don't like that saying.
I don't like that phrase either, because I would be doing some stupid shit if it was my last day.
It's more like, I don't have tomorrow promised, so I'm just going to enjoy today. And part of enjoying today is enjoying who accepts you and what accepts you and the environments you're accepted in. And I think that's really good. That was actually a question I forgot to ask. But you mentioned something, because I don't know what, I like listened to a few interviews. You briefly said, because you didn't have so much drama surrounding your life, it was almost as if the industry kind of like slighted, or I think that was
the word. Slighted was the word I used, I do feel that way in a sense. I think it's because the whole child actor curse thing didn't happen that way. Like, I don't have a redemption story.
Yeah.
Right.
So they weren't like, oh, he's in rehab. Well, what's he going to do next? Blah, 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 blah. And they weren't just like, they were just kind of like, oh, he's cute. He's nice, but like, he's boring.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what it is. I think I played the humble kid a little too, you know, too much. If anything, I should have turned up a little bit. I should have vented my frustrations.
I'm sure your parents were very happy about that, though.
I think so as well. But I think they also see now, like, you know, where, and that wasn't due to them, like, not letting me. My parents did a great job of saying, like, yo, you're playing in a different world now.
Yeah.
Here are the repercussions for your actions.
Yeah.
You see what the others have done. You choose how you want
to
handle it.
Well, that's awesome of them not to, like, just, like, clench you and just be like, don't do anything, or to be like, go meet people, go party, but just kind of be like, this is your decision to make.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These are the consequences if you make this or that, or just be you.
Bingo. Yeah.
We raised you right. We trust you. Go.
Bingo. You know, I definitely feel like I could have vented a lot of more of my frustrations. I should have turned up a tad bit more. I should have started snapping on people when they got out of line. But you know what? It's all good. It's bro. Let them live. Man.
Yeah. I was going to say, so like, was the personal like wrestling of what you might have wanted originally versus like being who you are now, was it when do you feel you really became comfortable with who Cleo Thomas is?
2 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago. And it was the first moment in my life where I thought about quitting everything.
Wow. Really?
I wanted to just walk away. I felt like, okay, I've done a shit ton of stuff in my life. Like, I've seen a whole lot. I've a most than anyone. Like, I don't think my parents would have thought they'd have seen what they saw having me as a son.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've my brothers, my sister, they've got a chance to see things that their friends have never seen before just because I'm their brother. So there was a moment where I just got very frustrated with the business. I was like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of the audition process. I've been doing this for too long. My resume's here. I know I can still do this. I've proven that I can do this stuff.
Yeah.
Dealing with the music industry when it came to radio is a whole other beast that I had to battle with as well. And I just got frustrated. I said, I'm done. And then it took me about a day to realize that, no, like, I know my purpose here on earth. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what I'm capable of, and I know exactly what I'm going to do. And I just took control, a whole lot more control after that day.
Yeah,
that's all it was.
That's me saying preach.
Yeah, I had to take control, man. Yeah. I had to. You know, I had let so many people, in a sense, be in control of my career.
Yeah,
whether it was actors or agents or managers, and you know, I feel like I kind of was cursed for a minute with agents because they kept leaving the agency I was at. Oh, I'm like, well, do you want to follow me over here? And I'm just
like, no, okay, I don't even know what?
Yeah, so I just had to take control, man. Yeah. I had to take a whole lot more control. And after that day, I was like, I know what I'm capable of.
Yeah.
I don't need anyone in my ear to tell me what I can and cannot do, what I should and should be doing. So, I got control now.
So you're saying you had to carry yourself up the mountain?
Were you going to say the same thing?
I was going to say that. This is why we do a podcast together.
It's like, so you had to climb a mountain.
Yeah,
I'm annoying.
All right.
But yeah, no, everybody says, like, just in Hollywood especially, is when, like, if things aren't working for you, you have to make your own opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I think, obviously, you've been really good about that. It's like making your own opportunities as far as diverging into like music and like starting a brand and multiple brands and just like making sure that you have other things that you're focusing on.
Starting to wonder, like, I was starting to question, like, am I supposed to be putting out through social media? Like, I'm the starving actor. Like, is that what's stopping me in these rooms? Am I like, are they going to, looking back at my social media, like, oh, he's fine. Like, do they want me to come begging for a role? Like, what is it? Like, you have all these thoughts as an actor because it's like you're right there. Like, I'm literally in this room. It's the callbacks, and then it's the, you know, you're pinned for this, and then it don't drop.
And then it's nothing. Yeah.
And then you mentioned this rejection all the time.
All the time.
We as actors or anyone in this entertainment industry, we're crazy for what we signed up for.
Yeah.
We are crazy. We are told no 98% of the time anyway.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So, yeah. We're real weird.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad, honestly, I think that's a good place to kind of like wrap this up. I just want to say, I think as an encouragement to you, man, we never know what people are going through personally, you know, and obviously I know you probably have your ups and downs, but I appreciate the fact that you seem to go out there and be for people.
Yeah.
I've had to do research for a few things, and it was like, oh, this was like, it was an easier research because I enjoyed just the energy which you made your videos. Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, I was like researching, but I was also just like finding my next thing that I was going to be binging. Like, I was like, oh, so I'm going to be watching these videos until now. Like, it was like, I'm researching.
But I think I appreciate, and anybody else out there can appreciate, the candor to just be yourself, be going through what you're going through, but also do it on a positive spin, which you don't have to do. Like, you don't owe anybody that, you know, and yet it seems that it's not just for you, but it's for your mom, your sister, and for anybody else who takes a moment to say, hey, you know, Cleo, we're looking up to you.
Mm-hmm. That means a lot, man. Yeah. That means a lot to me, man. The werewolves and, you know, slick living and glam, like, it was, these were all thoughts in my head that I just felt to share with the world somehow, some way. And knowing that those words now mean something to someone else and they're connected by that, that's more than enough for me.
It's literally all we have. Every day is, even if it's just one person, that's the best thing of that day.
Oh yeah, man.
So before we wrap up, is there anything you wanted to either ask us or say or like leave out on a note?
When's the next debate between you two for the film?
We were talking about that because originally when we started this, we weren't, I think we need to do a debate and then eventually make that our Patreon thing. Because the show is not about us just talking about films. It's more about, like, the pop culture impact.
Okay. So, like, a debate isn't, like, just
dude, we need to do that, though.
That we don't agree on?
Or? I was thinking about that, like, because we went to head on a Hercules. Like, I was adamant. I didn't grow up with it.
Okay, so what about your favorite Disney films of all time?
Aladdin.
Aladdin.
Little Mermaid.
Gotta go with Aladdin.
Yeah.
See, I feel like you guys are just teaming up on me.
No. I promise.
Aladdin's a top, like at least top three Disney of all time.
I would give you top five.
Okay. What would you give? What's your top three?
It would probably be Little Mermaid, Hercules.
You really did like Hercules.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like one of my favorite Disney movies.
Is it because of the music? Is it because of the music?
I don't know. It was probably the music had a big thing to do with it, but I love Greek mythology too. That was like a thing. Yeah. And then Frozen is up there now.
Frozen.
That was the music for sure.
I am excited for the second one.
Were you a Tangled person?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like Tangled. Yeah,
y'all are literally the same person.
I like Tangled.
But Frozen, I like what they were doing with Frozen. I don't like that people are always like, oh, it was the first strong sister movie. I'm like, no. Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's
yeah.
the first strong female. Mulan.
Keep like, going. Keep shooting.
Even Jasmine, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
Jasmine is, I think, was the first one. Like, she wanted to break all the rules. She wanted to let it be, no, I'm not going to just bow down and abide by this.
Yeah, she will not be silent. She won't go speechless.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that song. Sing it. How did you feel about that song?
I love that song. Oh, I shed it. I'm not going to lie, bro. Yeah. I teared up. I'm a man of say, yeah.
Yeah, when absolutely.
I saw her, she whipped around and it was the dress.
I mean.
And I could see the vein. I saw the vocal cords. Like, she's screaming. Going ham.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Go ahead, I love that. And I said this already, but like I literally in the theater when they were dragging her away, I go, sing about it, girl, because I knew the song was coming. I was like, let's go. Oh, I was ready goodness. For it.
Well, we clearly could just talk for another 2 hours.
On Disney
but
stuff alone.
We're going to spare our listeners for now, but obviously we loved having you on the show and you're welcome back anytime, Cleo. Yes.
Thank you guys for having me.
So if you want to give a shout out to where we can find you, we can follow you.
Yeah, at Cleo Thomas on all social media accounts. There will be a Twitch channel coming very soon, so be on the lookout for that. Patreon.com/Cleo Thomas to access everything. Exclusive, the podcast, a whole bunch of video content that's only exclusive there. Be ready for a brand new glam release. We're teaming up. Last glam release, we did something themed around Sailor Moon.
What?
This time we're
why did I not hear about that?
Oh, you missed out.
I'm like hurt because I know you make all of your stuff exclusive. So once it's out, it's out.
It's gone.
Oh, I'm real hurt about that.
The next one is going to be Powerpuff Girls.
Oh,
so I'm excited about that.
I love
too.
Buttercup.
Yeah. My question for Cartoon Network is why every time the devil was depicted, it was either very flamboyant.
Oh my God.
Or you know, cross dressing or like what, like think
so
about.
So you're thinking of Cow and Chicken.
Cow and Chicken.
And then I know him.
Him for certain. And then
is there a third one?
I think those are the only two that I can.
Yeah, they're terrifying.
Yeah.
But it was because, unfortunately, back in the day, and I know this has been a big issue in games and films, it was an easy go to, like, to depict people as flamboyant to be like, hey, they're evil, right?
Mm.
So you have like, I mean, one of my, like that actor, Peter Lorre, who is like an old school actor from like the Maltese Falcon. He always kind of had like a really interesting, he was the one that Robin Williams was mimicking when he goes, I don't like raising people from the dead. Like that actor played into that whole thing. So like he had it was a very homoerotic type vibe to his villains because it made people uncomfortable.
Okay.
So that's the thing is like make people uncomfortable and then they realize that's the villain.
Gotcha.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That is a hell of a psychological trip on that one.
So,
you know, that one trigger could make everyone be like, that's
have a lot of people in the LGBTQIA community who are resisting depictions of that where it's solely villainous.
Mm-hmm.
And I, because since we weren't going to talk about this, I can't think of off the top of my head, but there's a lot of characters when you think about it, like, what's his name from the Bond movie? Skyfall. Jeffrey Bardem? No, why am I?
Yeah, that's the actor's name.
Yeah. So watch that scene when he first introduces himself to Bond. He's real up close and personal, real uncomfortably in his bubble, and they make a few jokes. And there's nothing inherently wrong with a villain being homosexual. They're just saying, oh, it's kind of like they go hand in hand.
Gotcha.
You're gay, so you're bad.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of like why they would depict I'm assuming it's just an easy go-to. It's also one of the reasons why, like, Aliens, a movie that you mentioned, everything in that is sexual. Because sexuality freaks people out. It's like, it's a taboo out here. So, like, the alien's head shaped like a penis. The alien penetrates. It's like, that's why that those films are so uncomfortable, because it's all shaped around sex.
He's got a point.
So,
Kids always got a point.
The more you know, guys. So that's Cleo Thomas. Yeah. As for us, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter at
Pink Popcast. That's pop with a P.
You can also watch us on YouTube or listen to us wherever you find your podcasts. Just be sure to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, because it helps us spread the word and, you know, gets us up there.
It shall do. And we are going to read the most positive and the most negative comments. So
we keep saying that. I don't know why we're encouraging people to give negative comments. Hey, but
if you're giving a negative comment and you actually like us, still give us a 5 rating.
Yeah, please.
Say something awful.
Once again, thank you, Cleo, for being here. Yeah, high five.
Boom. Give me
like
some.
That.
Bam. Wow.
And thank you guys for listening. Obviously, we'll have a new episode for you next week. But until then, I'm Josiah Rizzo.
I'm Benji Jones.
I'm Cleo Thomas.
And on Wednesdays, we wear pink.
I don't like Mean Girls, so I don't understand the verse.
Oh, right. We didn't even address that. No.